Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
A very good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. Me, Rob Pritchard, and the team with you here for the next hour with the latest look towards the sporting action on the Isle of Man and beyond this weekend. Coming up on tonight's programme, some key battles in the men's title races on Saturday and the semi-finals of the Women's Floodlit Cup on Sunday are among the upcoming action in Manx football. We hear what's going on at this key time in the Isle of Man's basketball season and some exciting developments for the island's national teams in the coming months. Elsewhere, still hoping to turn around their recent slump in form, Douglas head for their third straight away tie in Regional 2 Northwest in rugby tomorrow, and the first cup competition action of 2026 awaits in Manx hockey. That is all to come this evening. Very good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. The time has just gone past 29 minutes to 6. Taking a look over the next hour at the latest sporting action coming up on the Isle of Man and further afield, particularly in Manx football, rugby and hockey. The stakes are getting higher in Manx football across the respective divisions. We'll be hearing from our football correspondent Tony Meppham in due course. In hockey, we'll be taking a dive into the first cup competition action of 2026 with our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. Also taking a look as well at the Island National Team that will be involved in England Hockey Championship action this weekend. Multiple Island youth sides heading across the water for those. And in rugby, very much the spotlight on Douglas this weekend. Can they finally end that run of five defeats in their last six in Regional 2 Northwest after it was going so well in late November 2025? It all seems to have changed in the last couple of weeks. All of that is to come. First off, we're going to be starting off with something a little bit different because we've been getting the chance to catch up with a sport that is very much in full swing in early 2026. The Isle of Man is entering the second and busy half of its latest basketball season, with plenty in store both across the domestic divisions and for the Ireland's national squads. Well, Martin Dunn is the Isle of Man men's coach, and he's been giving us the latest details on where we're at when it comes to the local leagues. And what's more, Mr. Dunn explains how popular the sport is here right now and reveals some exciting developments for the male and female national teams for the coming months.
It's really good. So every senior league team is basically running a full roster at this stage. You know, they've maxed out on their, it's 12 players you can play in each game. Some teams are running more players than that and rotating people through with each game. Then we have our D2 development league, which is for ages school years 7 to 12 basically. So guys who are getting into basketball, looking to develop their skills, maybe transition into senior league, and we're averaging 40-50 kids a week turning up regularly to play those games. Then we have our Manx youth games training session, all of the centres running, looking really strong. Douglas particularly looking like it's going to top out at high numbers again this year, and it's just about getting people into the sport. There's a few nice things running as well with open courts in the roundhouse that people are just organising themselves, so definitely basketball feeling like it's in a strong position.
You mentioned the Manx Youth Games there. Of course, it is a busy time of year for all the sports that get involved in it, like you say, with the training sessions. When it comes to something like the Manx Youth Games, how popular does basketball tend to be, and how good an atmosphere does there tend to be around something like that?
It's a really great atmosphere. Like, we enjoy it's bringing these new players in. I always remember some, you know, I've been coaching Manx Youth Games for a long time, and some of the players who come in, they don't really know about basketball. They've seen it, but they don't know how to bounce a ball, they don't know how to play, and watching them grow and develop and develop a passion for the sport is amazing. And we've gotten some Island players out of that, you know, guys and girls turned up to those Manx Youth Games sessions not really knowing the sport, but yet have loved it, have kept with it, and have ended up going to represent the Isle of Man. So it's really popular. The atmosphere is always great. And the big thing we focus on in basketball for that Manx Youth Games is just have fun. Get involved, have fun, turn up. We'll teach you the skills you need to know. We'll let you develop. We'll let you grow at your own pace. As long as you're enjoying the sport, that's what's important to us. And anyone who turns up to basketball for Manx Youth Games is going to get time on the court on that Manx Youth Games day if they choose to play that sport, because that's what we're about. We want them involved. We want them to enjoy it.
Off that point that you talk about there in terms of the social aspect of it as well, yes, there will be those who will take it more seriously, but not just in basketball, but sport across the island, that community aspect as well. How big is that in basketball at the the moment?
It's really big in individual teams themselves do quite a lot of their own little sort of social stuff, but we also have some things that are organised by the likes of the Island team. So the Island ladies are unbelievable at organising events and socials, stuff like that. And they've really done a great job over the last few years of this big pink game, they've called it. So it ran just before Christmas last year for, I think, the fourth or fifth year in a row. And it's just about getting people down to play some basketball, 5-on-5, 3x3, and just enjoying the sport, but doing it for a charitable cause as well. And it's been mixed sessions, so anyone can come in and turn up.
Looking forward then, whether it's in terms of the local leagues or maybe the national sides, if you like, I mean, what's coming up in the next couple of weeks and months for yourselves?
So local leagues, we're continuing with the initial round robins and kind of rounding those out in the run up to sort of Easter time. And then we go into our playoff championships. When we look at, again, the Manx Youth Games coming up, making sure that kids are developing and growing there, building into the Manx Youth Games happening in May as well. Then we're looking a little bit further forward, and we have the first time ever the Isle of Man will feature in a Commonwealth Games 3x3 tournament. So home qualifiers for the Europe region. We've accepted an invitation there, and we're excited to build towards that with both Island teams, send some teams to represent the Isle of Man in that qualifiers. And you never know, if we qualify, could be going to Glasgow with those Commonwealth Games.
And like you said, just on the Commonwealth Games side of things, you know, an exciting prospect to get involved in some qualifiers with the home nations. I mean, just what would that mean? Of course, it'll be a big task. You're going to be up against some big teams in those qualifiers. But just what would it mean to Alabama basketball if the Alabamas to get one or more 3v3 teams into Glasgow this summer?
It would be an unbelievable dream. I mean, it's 3v3 is such a different style of play. It's so much more aggressive, so much quicker. No real time to rest on your laurels in 3v3 and very short games. It's professionalized a lot over the last few years as well. So some of those Commonwealth players would be people who have previously played at a really, really high level, you know, maybe even played professionally in the past and stuff like that. And they're representing their nations. So it's a really tough challenge. If we could manage to overcome some of that, especially from some of those bigger nations that have a bigger pool of players to pick from and have more opportunity to play on a much more regular basis, if we can compete with them, it would be an unbelievable kind of outcome for the Isle of Man, and it would really show the effort, the payoff for all the work and skills development that players have done over the last few years, because they're putting their time and effort in. Nobody on the Isle of Man gets paid to do basketball, unfortunately. We're an entirely volunteer kind of organisation. So if we manage to do that and those guys manage to progress either ladies' side or men's side, it would be an unbelievable achievement for the sport and such great recognition for those players.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
That was Martin Dunn, the Isle of Man men's national basketball coach, talking about the scene as it stands currently going into, just past in fact, the halfway stage of the domestic season, and some exciting updates for the men's and women's national teams as well, qualifying for the home nations qualifiers for the 2026 Commonwealth Games in 3v3 basketball. We wish them the very best of luck in the months to come for that, and maybe, just maybe, we'll have one or more Island squads in Glasgow this summer. Anyway, we're going to turn our attention to hockey next in what's going to be a busy weekend with regards to cup competition. The league action takes a little bit of a sideline this weekend ahead of the first cup competition rounds, the first rounds of the Men's Cup, Ladies' Cup, Men's Plate, Ladies' Plate and Men's Bowl this weekend for the first time this year. To go through everything as always is our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham. Ben, very good evening. And cup competition, well, obviously the draws were made the other week as well, and finally getting things underway this weekend.
Absolutely. So some very interesting ties to happen this weekend, and we'll see who comes out the winners, and they'll go into the hat for the draw on Classified on Saturday.
Indeed they will. So looking ahead, we'll start with the first round of the Men's Cup competition. So there are two ties taking place this weekend, with two teams outside of those having byes into the next round. We'll bring you clarity on those in just a moment. But Ben, let's take a look at the two fixtures, a doubleheader at the NSC in Douglas in the Men's Cup first round. 12:35 p.m. pushback at the NSC. Now this is when we were actually just talking about off air before we actually came on for the programme. This could be an intriguing one, because Harlequins A, who've already shown their credentials in a number of areas despite despite not picking up the same points as, say, Backers-A at the top, up against the Vikings-A side that suffered their first defeat of the season last weekend against Backers-A, the league leaders. Now, Harlequins-A, from what you're saying, Ben, coming into this in plenty of confidence, gave Backers a scare a few weeks ago against the Vikings side, maybe looking to try and bounce back a little bit. So there's two teams that could really go at this one.
Absolutely, yeah. And you look at the league table, okay, Vikings are just ahead on goal difference. But, of course, both sides have been scoring goals and then they have also been conceding just about the same as well. I've been talking to a few people who have watched Harlequins-A and they've said it's a massive achievement from what they were to what they are now. They've come up big trumps and they are really giving everyone in this league a really good run for their money. And some people have actually tipped them for this game. So it'd be interesting to see how this one plays out. Vikings-A, though, will definitely make sure they give them a good test. But I'm going to sit on the fence on this one. I can't call it.
Well, just to put some context behind what you're saying there, Ben, in terms of what the Premier League looks like, the men's Premier League, and of course, yes, we are cup competitions, different circumstances, but Vikings-A second, 4 points after three games. Harlequins-A on the same points total, but only behind in goal difference by 11 goals, it must be said. So that could be quite a close one. Elsewhere in the men's cup first round, Backers-A, the defending champions. What a season they had last season, the Backers men's A team. They're coming up against a Valkyries A team who have just got the one win from their opening three in the league so far. But Ben, in cup competition, may that give them a new lease of life against very difficult opposition?
Absolutely. And I mean, Backers-A currently the cup holders of this competition, and I'm sure they'll want to make sure they keep their hands on the cup for another year. Valkyries, I'm sure they'll give them a good game, but the way Backers are playing at the minute, and it is just looking like Backers are unstoppable at the moment. So I'm going to go for a Backers-A win on that one.
Then we turn to the Ladies' Cup first round. Two games taking place at QE2 in Peel. Back-to-back games. The first of those is an early pushback, 11:05. And that sees Backers-A up against the current Ladies' Premier League leaders, Valkyries-A, who have 3 wins from 3 so far in the league.
And Valkyries-A last weekend, if you remember, Rob, beat the current holders of the Ladies' Premier League, Castletown A, who we'll come to in a minute. But Backers-A, though, will know they'll have a tough day in the office against the Valkyries-A side, who definitely will be on a high so far with the way their results are going and that big win last weekend over the current holders of the Ladies' Premier League. I'm going to go for a Valkyries-A win on this one, though.
Yeah, it's been a good start. Yes, we mentioned 3 wins from 3, but they've scored 12 in those three games and conceded just the 2 so far as well. So some defensive acumen there, if you want to put it that way as well. The other semi-final, as Ben alluded to, features the defending Ladies Premier League and also defending Ladies Cup champions, Castletown A. They'll be involved in an inter-club derby because they're facing Castletown B at QE2 at 12:35 tomorrow.
Yeah, when this draw got made, as soon as it come out, Castletown A against Castletown B, I could see the reaction on the live stream video going, oh, Castletown derby. But I'm sure it'll be a great atmosphere for both sides. And I'm sure the B team will go out and give the A team a good run for the money. But you would favour the A team to come out on top on this one. But it'll be an interesting one. Castletown derbies are always full of excitement. So, yeah, but I'd expect Castletown A to come out on that one.
Indeed. And again, just some context in terms of league form as well. Castletown Ladies B currently bottom of Ladies Premier League. Just the 1 point so far. They've, like Harlequins A, also on 1 point, but Castletown B bottom by virtue of goal difference. Castletown A, 1 win and 1 defeat so far from their opening 2 games as well. And they've got ground to make with a game in hand, of course, on the leaders, Valkyries A. Just the 1 game taking place in the men's plate first round, and that's going to be an early pushback at the NSC in Douglas. And that's going to see Valkyries B up against Ramsey A.
Yeah, and I've actually got this one down as the tie of the round, I think, because I think this one potentially could go all the way to penalty flicks. These two sides are definitely in the running for this promotion spot in Men's Division 1. And like we say, we look at the league table, Ramsey A currently second at the moment with 6 points, Valkyries B just below them are in third with just the 4 points. But when you look at the goals scored for both sides, okay, they've both got the same, but they've both conceded near enough the same as well. So this could be a very, very close game looking at the way the league table looks. But as we've said before, in cup competitions, that can all go out the window. So let's see what happens. But I think this one potentially could go to flicks.
Yeah, they're right next to each other in men's division one at the moment. Ramsey A, second, 3 wins from 3, only behind leaders Backers B on goal difference. Valkyrsbeek not far behind at all, with 2 wins from the opening 3 and just the 1 defeat. And yeah, you look at the 2 defences as well, Ben. Ramsey A have scored 11, conceded 2. Valkyrsbeek have scored 12, conceded 3. Very similar in a lot of departments statistically.
Absolutely, yeah. Makes it definitely a great tie for the men's play, and we'll see who ends up in the hat on classified.
Well, whilst there's just the one tie in the first round of the men's play, there are 2 ties in the first round of the ladies' play, both taking place at QE2 in Peel. The first of those at 2:05 sees Vikings B taking on Backers C.
Yeah, Vikings B have had a great start to their season. 2 games played so far. Okay, they've got a game in hand still to play. Backers C, though, bottom of ladies' division one, just haven't quite found their form yet. But of course, these Backers C were the side that got promoted from ladies division 2 last season into division 1, and they were the and they are the current holders of the ladies bowl. So obviously they aren't competing in the bowl this year with them being in division 1, so they're going to be in the plate. I'm going to go for a Vikings B win on that one. I think Vikings B are looking very strong.
Yeah, of the two of those, again, Vikings B, yeah, they have had a solid start, as Ben points out, with a game in hand on 3 points at the moment, with 3 points for the first 2 games, and only trailing Ramsey A at the top of that league on goal difference. Backers C, though, 3 defeats from 3 so far, so maybe the cup, or should I say the ladies' plate to be specific, the cup competition, might give them a little bit of respite today, but they're up against a in-form Vikings ladies B side. Elsewhere, the current ladies' Division 1 leaders, Ramsey A, they'll be taking on second from bottom in ladies' Division 1, Castletown C. Also at QE2, this is the later pushback at 3:35.
Yeah, and Ramsey, I'm sure, will be wanting to keep their good form up. Of course, 3 games played, 1 win, 1 draw, 1 loss. But yeah, when you look at the way the ladies' Division 1 table looks, and I know you've got it in front of you there, Rob, between Vikings Ladies B and Ramsey Ladies A, there is not much in the way in statistics. But when you look at Castletown,
3 points separating top to bottom in ladies' division one at the moment,
exactly.
This very early stage, it must be said.
Absolutely. And then Castletown Ladies C sitting in fifth place, second from bottom, with just that 1 win keeping them above Backers Ladies C. It's going to be a tough day for Castletown Ladies C, I think. But Ramsey A are going to be probably looking very strong, and I think they're going to keep their good league form up into the ladies' plate.
So those were the respective men's and ladies' plate first round ties. Turning then to the men's bowl competition, 2 fixtures in the first round. Both will take place at Castle Rushen High School in the south of the island. First of those is an early pushback, and that's 11:05, Ben.
Yeah, and that's Ramsey Men's B, who are bottom of Division 2 in men's, against the top of the league, Backers Men's C. I'm going to go for a Backers Men's C win on that one. I think they're looking really strong.
It's probably the most straightforward answer statistically anyway.
Yeah.
And certainly with no disrespect to Ramsey B, they're back as C, 3 wins from 3. Ramsey, 3 defeats from 3 so far. But as we know, Ben, the cup can turn up the odd shock result here and there. And it could be the catalyst for Ramsey B's season if it goes their way.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, I'm sure Ramsey Men's B, newly formed side this season, would love to get a good run in the men's bowl. But Backers Men's C, though, you look at their form so far, 16 goals scored and only 5 against. It's looking like a Backers C win there, but who knows what happens in the cup?
Absolutely, we certainly can't assume anything at this stage of the competitions. And the other tie in the men's bowl first round at Castle Rushen High School, straight after at 12:35 p.m. That is going to see Harlequin C, they're second from bottom at the moment, men's division 2, up against a Castletown C side who haven't fared too much better, just the 2 points between these two sides in the league.
Yeah, and I think this one could be a close one as well. Another one that I think potentially, if it goes the way I think it might go, I think it could possibly come down to one moment of magic or potentially go down to flicks. I'd love to see Harlequin's Men's C get one over Castletown Men's C. I know that Kenny Verlerga will probably be listening now, and I'm sure he's got a nice strong squad ready for the game tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you there, Kenny, but I'm going to go for my beloved Harlequin's Men's C side.
Fair enough. So those are the cup competition games taking place tomorrow. You may have noticed as well, we haven't mentioned the Ladies Bowl, and that is because there are only 4 teams entered into the Ladies Bowl this season due to there only being 4 teams in Ladies Division 2. So that has progressed straight to the semi-final stage, hasn't it, Ben? That'll take place in the next phase.
Yeah, so of course, from all these winners, of the first round. It'll then go into the semi-final stage, and yeah, the ladies' bowl will then start in that stage. But yeah, four teams in that. I think it's Valkyries Lady C, Vikings Lady C, Ramsey B, and Castletown.
We've got Harlequins B in there.
Aha, right,
Harlequins B, Valkyries C, Ramsey B, and Vikings C. Very close.
Yeah.
That was close. Anyway, we do actually have, speaking of the leagues, actually, we do have one league game taking place this weekend. It is a rearranged one from a few weeks ago in Ladies Division 2, and that does see Castletown D up against Ramsey B, Ben.
Yeah, this has been rearranged, of course, with no games happening in Ladies Division 2. We can have a bit of a catch-up on some fixtures that need to be played. So Castletown Ladies D playing Ramsey Ladies B at King William's College at 12:35. That'll be a close game, I reckon. Two very evenly matched sides. And if I had to pick a team, I'm going to go looking at the form so far. I'm going to just edge it towards Castletown.
Very well, and just a reminder as well that we do have a couple of games taking place in the Mixed Under-15s League this weekend. I'll quickly take you through those. So 2:05 pushback tomorrow at Castle Rushen High School sees Vikings face Castletown Sabres, and then two games slightly later pushbacks at 3:35 PM, one of them at the NSC sees Ramsey Rogues and Rascals take on Valkyries, and the other at Castle Rushen High School involves Backers versus Harlequins. So that's the hockey action taking place tomorrow. Across the water on Sunday, Ben, there's more to come, and this time from the Isle of Man's junior national teams.
Yeah, so it's great that we've got a couple of teams away this weekend. We've got the under 14 boys away, the under 14 girls, the under 16 boys, and if I can get the other sheet, the under 18 girls are all away representing the island in the England Hockey Tier 2 Round 4. So we wish them all the best. As well as that, we've also got Louise Franklin, who's going away representing the Isle of Man as part of the umpiring for one of the teams. I think she's going away for the boys under 14s game. So she's going to be there representing the Isle of Man as the umpire from the Isle of Man for that game. So we wish her the best of luck, and also we wish all the teams the best of luck. Some really strong squads going away. And as I say every time when they go away, Rob, it's great to see a mixture of all the clubs on the island being represented in all the age brackets.
Well, just on that, actually, because it's always nice to give them a mention, I think it's fair to say, the players and coaches that will be involved in the respective teams this weekend.
Absolutely. So the under-14s, we have got Dee Gimbert and Niamh Goddard. That was the under-14 boys. Under-14 girls, we've got Sam Franklin and Kenny Valerga. The under-16 boys, we've got Paul Nuttall and Paul Griffin. And then the under-18 girls, the team manager is Hannah Lees, but she's also got George Powell and Steve Ronan as her coaches as well.
And I think as well, again, just going off that point, Ben, like you say, of all the clubs being represented as well, it's not just the fact that there is a variety of clubs being represented, but a variety of teams here. And again, just for a bit of context for those who don't know, particularly if they're in the higher tier competition. So, for example, let's take one of the senior teams, for example, that can compete in the Tier 2 Knockout Championship. Let's say the Isle of Man ladies team. If they do end up losing in the first round, they can drop into another competition. Yes, it's the lower tier, but they still get opportunities in the England Hockey Championships. And that's the same when it comes to the junior teams as well, because there have been a couple of teams that have been beaten in their opening games, but they're still getting that opportunity in the England Hockey Championships during the season.
Absolutely. And I think it's what they call the VARs, which they get put into if they get knocked out in the plate and the cup. But yeah, it's great that they have that opportunity, that it's not all over if they lose in that bracket, because they can drop down into this other bracket, which also gives them chances to progress and develop their playing as well. Because obviously when they go away playing teams across in the UK, it's a vast difference to what they're playing on the island. But it's great for them. It's great for their development. And you look at the amount of squads that the Isle of Man Hockey Association are currently getting away this weekend, and in total, it's great to see such a lot of up-and-coming young talent who are all going to progress definitely into the senior squads.
And for the coaches as well, obviously experience for them up against a different opposition, the umpires as well experiencing a different style of hockey. Just very quickly, going back to the cup competitions, Ben, that are taking place this weekend, I understand that we'll be having the draw for the next round taking place tomorrow on Manx Radio.
Yep, so the draw for the semi-finals will happen on Classifieds tomorrow. I might rope Tony Mepperman to... He's giving me the thumbs up. There we go. That's sorted. Yep, so we'll have the draw tomorrow night on Classifieds and we'll see what semi-finals we get. It could be very interesting.
Indeed. So, yes, if you want to keep an eye out for the hockey developments tomorrow, please do make sure to tune in on Saturday Live on Manx Radio FM throughout the day. And then between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. full time. And then Saturday Sport Classified with Simon Quine, Ben and the rest of the team over on the Manx Radio AM 1368. Ben, thank you very much. In the meantime, quickly turn to Tony Meppen for just a moment. So, Tony, obviously the title race is hotting up in Manx football across the divisions at the moment. Before we take a look at the fixtures after the break as well, it's all finely poised, isn't it?
Certainly is, and everyone's it's a new year, so new ideas, and everyone has these resolutions of coming in and start training, you know, twice a week and everything. But there's still some bizarre scorelines coming through, isn't there, in the Premier League? That's one thing for sure. And there's some big games there tomorrow, and a lot of pressure on. There's one or two sort of alterations. Maybe give you them, Rob, because if I had any life in my battery, I would have phoned you and let you know. But Fox Hill against Ayr United, that game has been moved to Colby. Well done to both clubs. Well, Foxdale anyway, for getting that on, and well done to Colby. The other one, St John's against Onken, that's been postponed. St John's pitch, I've seen the pictures to Ray. Ray's got an awful lot of work to do down there because, you know, down that bottom corner, they've had a lot of rain coming through, so those two have got a problem.
Okay, yep, so if you just missed that as well, so there are a couple of updates to games in the Canada Life Men's Premier League tomorrow. Foxdale versus Ayr United is going ahead, but will be taking place at a different venue of Colby over at Station Fields in the south of the island. St John's United versus Onken, that game has been postponed due to an unfit pitch. But there will be plenty to go through this evening. 4 points separate the top two in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. It is a similar story in our Dern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 in the ongoing battle between two southern rivals, Colby and Castletown, for supremacy at the top of the table. It is Castletown who slipped up last week, allowing Colby to move 4 points clear at the top. But Colby without a game this weekend. Castletown, can they claw back some ground this weekend? We'll look at those fixtures and more besides in the next couple of minutes. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time is approaching 5 minutes past six, turning our attention to the latest football action taking place on the Isle of Man this weekend. Attention very much on league matters and the title races across the Canada Life Men's Premier League, our Dern and Drug Unlimited Division 2, and elsewhere in the combination leagues has been hotting up over the last couple of weeks. Just 4 points separate the top two in both the Premier League and Division 2 going into this weekend. What could we have in store? Well, to take us through that, Tony Meppen joins us once again, our football correspondent. So Tony, again, we'll just quickly mention before we get into the fixtures, if you missed it just before the break, there are a couple of changes to fixtures this weekend, and they are in the Men's Premier League. Foxdale versus Ayr United is due to go ahead, but will be played at Colby over at Station Fields. And St John's United versus Onken in the Canada Life Men's Premier League tomorrow has been postponed due to an unfit pitch. So let's take a look at the remainder of the games that are, as it stands, due to take place, Tony. And first off, we'll start with a game at Gary Moore, and that sees... So Peel will be heading to Union Mills. Peel, of course, 4 points behind leaders Corinthians, but crucially with those two games still in hand as well on Corinthians above them. Travelling to a Union Mills side, Tony, that just in the last couple of weeks seem to have found that bit of an extra spark.
Yeah, I think Ryan Kelly, the manager of Union Mills, will be chuffed to bits because, as you rightly say, they've gone up a gear. And, you know, when you saw that team there and the achievements of what they had last year, I'm not saying it's the same team, but you expected them to sort of, you know, move on. But it hasn't sort of quite happened for them. But certainly the results of late, that result against Laxey, winning 3-0, was absolutely fantastic. But, you know, Peel are the other way. You know, Peel are just scraping results at the moment, and okay, they're getting 3 points out of it, but last week only just winning sort of 2-1 against Foxdale, you just say to yourself, well, you know, are the players missing? Well, yes, there are, and probably the key player is Thomas Brown. He's been struggling with an injury, I think. Missed one. Last week he was on the bench and came on. So a little bit more responsibility for Lee Gale and Taylor Andrews up front. Defensively, they've had to shuffle a pack as well. So Peter Kenyick knows that it's an important game, this one. Current form, Union Mills. they'll have a real good go against Peel. They know they're not going to be relegated, but they know they're not going to win the league. So let's try and take the points away from the team that could be the champions at the end of the season. And that's a big, big carrot for Union Mills, but I still feel Peel will win it.
Yeah, Union Mills have won four of their last five. The only defeat in that time was 2-1 loss to Peel in the reverse fixture out in the west of the island as well. So that could be an interesting one. Elsewhere, Ramsey, who are still very much catching up on games, only played 12 in the league so far. Only bottom of the table, Foxdale, have played as few as them. They're coming up against the league leaders, Corinthians.
Yeah, Ramsey have had a bit of a problem with the pitch because it got cut up, and I believe they've tried to re-turf a section of it, which... Wrong time of the year to do that, but if they've got no choice, then you have to try something. But, you know, certainly Corinthians will be looking forward to this one because Ramsey found it tough going of later. You know, when you say they've played 12, they've only got those 14 points and four from the bottom. They could do with their start to win. So Andy Cooper and Andy Perry have got to, you know, try and get those team players motivated. And, you know, when you look at people like Dylan Pickles and others, you know, they need to score some more goals. And, you know, Corinthians in good form. Okay, they're only just winning as well, but they're winning, scoring plenty of goals. And Sean Doyle's back in full fitness. Rob, you'll remember before Christmas he was struggling. And you look at Connor Clark, he was majestic last week. He scored a couple of goals. And Dan Simpson is in fine form as well. So to me, it points to a Corinthians victory.
Elsewhere at Blackberry Lane, Douglas High School boys, who lost out on that big game at home to Braddon in that big battle towards the bottom last weekend. They're now 8 points from safety, albeit with the game in hand over Braddon above them on 13 points, Old Boys on five. But they've got a tricky test, at least on paper, Tony. They're going to be hosting Laxey, fifth in the table.
Well, they have, and you know, Old Boys now with that defeat against Braddon last week, they really do need to sort of get some bonus points on the league table, and certainly against Laxey, it's going to be hard because I would say that Johnny Palmer's put his team through the racks this week because it wasn't good enough last week, not scoring goals and conceding too many. So I'm sure he's worked on that at training. And you just wonder, you know, when you look at people like Ben Wazza and others in there, I know Brody Patience is injured, they've still got players there who can score goals, and certainly it's important for Laxey to try and get something out of this game. Okay, they're not panicking, but Old Boys need every single point that they can get. But I just think Laxey will be too strong.
Yeah, so the current bottom four as it stands, Ramsey in 10th after only 12 games on 14 points, Braddon in 11th on 13 points, then second from bottom in 12th, Old Boys, the first team inside the relegation zone, 5 points after 15 games, and Foxdale at the bottom with just the 1 point after 12 games so far. Braddon, meanwhile, who we've just mentioned there, although they do have themselves, they probably believe, a nice cushion from Old Boys just below them, probably won't be getting too carried away because mathematically still a lot of things can change, Tony, and they could have a tough test on their hands at home this weekend due to play Rushden United.
Yeah, I think Will Smith knows that one, and Rushden United is probably a nice time for Braddon to play them because Rushden's results of late haven't gone too good. Aaron Hawley's been missing, I think, for a couple of games after scoring that shed full of goals that he got. So I think, you know, they've certainly got to sort themselves out, Rushden. A lot of good young players in there who play for the under-18s, and they're worthy of first team, you know, appearances. There's no doubt about that one. But I still think Braddon are going to find it a little bit too tough, even though it is at their place, and I'm going to go for Rushden to win.
And the other remaining game in the Premier League this weekend, Foxdale versus bottom of the table, Foxdale. Still the only team yet to get a win on the board this season in the Premier League. They'll be at home to Ayr United. Well, I say at home, of course, as we know, it's now been moved to Colby.
Their new home for 1 week. And well done to everyone, Anthony Corkle and the team, for getting this on. But, you know, going into this game, when you look at Foxdale's last game against Peel, just lost out 2-1. So, you know, it's good for them. And I've watched them a couple of times this year, and there's a lot of new faces in there, new names, and they're quite good, actually. And they've got a couple of young players up front who are really tricky, very quick. And Ayr United are going to have to deal with that one. Not too sure who's going to be playing for Ayr United because I haven't seen the FC Alamann squad yet. But if they haven't got Sean Kelly, if they haven't got Harry Best, it makes it so much more difficult. And they're in a bit of a quagmire at the moment, Ayr United. And if Foxdale could sneak a point here, OK, it's not going to make a massive difference, but it'll give them a huge lift. And I think it's doable against an Ayr United side that's struggling.
Okay, and then just a reminder, St John's United versus Onken, that game has already been postponed this weekend due to a Warthog pitch. Moving to Ardern and Drugon Limited Division 2, four games this weekend. Now, similar story at the top of Division 2 as it is in the Premier League. 4 points separating the top two. Well, Castletown, after a second defeat on the bounce against St George's, one in the Cup and then one in the league, means that Colby have now moved 4 points clear at the top of the standings, 38 points after 15 games. Castletown on 34 after 14 games, so a game in hand. Colby on a rest week, the league leaders this week. And first off, Tony, we'll turn to Castletown. They have the chance to move to back within a point of Colby at the top of the standings in what's going to be a bit of a Southern derby. They'll be at home to Maloo.
Big Southern derby, because Maloo have picked themselves up of late. They've been scoring plenty of goals, and I think certainly against Castletown, they'll enjoy this one, because you know, Castletown coming into this after two defeats, and I watched them against St George's in the first game and really struggled to get things going for whatever reason it was, and I'm sure Gary Sansbury knows he's got to try and get something more out of his players. But I think Maloo, when you look at their team sheet now, Rob, it's probably as strong as it could be. I think everybody's back in now, fit, and I think Maloo will be trying everything they can to beat them. And I'm going to stick my neck out of here and just say that Castan at the moment, don't know what's going wrong, but I'm going to go for a draw between Castan and Maloo.
Very well. And looking elsewhere, so Maroun in fifth at the moment, so they are currently, just doing some quick maths, 15 points off the top two, but have only played 10. They still have four games to make up, and Castan have five on Colby. Maroun, they are going to be at home to Douglas Royal this weekend.
Yeah, and I watched Maroun last week against Colby in the first half. They were really good, and it just seemed to hinge around James Eyre going off at half time. I think it was a hamstring injury. And I thought, you know, up front they look really lively. I can't remember the number nine player, but certainly Michael Hughes was full of himself. And, you know, he had plenty of the ball and delivering and putting pressure on the Colby defence. But whatever happened to Maroun in that second period, they were nowhere near like the first 45 minutes. And they've got to correct that if they're going to challenge to get promoted. With Colby, Castletown, you centre in there, Pulley as well. Maroun are down a little bit because of the games that they've played. They've got to get maximum points away from Douglas Royal. And it'll be difficult because Douglas Royal, again, organised team. They've got Jordan Cowan, who can score goals. And defensively, they look OK. So they've got to go for it. But I think Maroun just will win it.
Elsewhere, over at Glencrutchery Road, so St George's, I think a lot of debate, hasn't there, in Division 2 this season of St George's. A big rebuild potentially going on within the club this season as they look to adjust to life in the second tier. But they've had a bit of an uplift of their own, and notably, of course, the two wins over Castan most recently. But that's now three wins in the last five for St George's. They're going to be hosting Governors Athletic.
Yeah, I think it's important that they've got Chris Bass, Sean Quay, Kieran McNulty. Three unbelievably talented footballers. Okay, they're a little bit older now, but you never lose that experience. And I noticed that in the first game, St George's against Castletown, because, you know, Sean Quay was just class at the back. Chris Bass has still got the movement, and the young lads can only learn off those players. Now, I think there's a couple of players signed for them this week from Old Boys to St George's, so that'll give them a good lift. So we'll wait and see how that goes. But Governors Athletic, you know, scoring goals is always important, and they do find it hard at times. So Billy Sweeney's side have really got to get it together to see if they can get anything away from Geordie's. I think Geordie's on a run at the moment. I'm going to go for three wins out of three.
Very well. And the fourth and final game in our Ardern Drugon Limited Division 2 is a meeting of two sides that are still, although very much an outside chance, still do have a chance mathematically of catching the top two should the stars align. And that's Paul Rose United in fourth on 26 points and a point ahead of them, but having played three games more. They'll host Rams Youth Centre and Old Boys, Tony. This could be an interesting one.
It is, because you look at Paul Rose games played, Rob, 13 games. You know, if they win those games in hand, they go on 35 points. So it just shows you that, you know, they're a team that you got to look at as well. And it's a big, big one. I'm going to cover this one tomorrow afternoon. Looking forward to this against Rams Youth Centre side, who are just above them in the league. They've played 16 games. So, you know, there's still quite a few to go, because don't forget these clubs are playing each other three times. But, you know, Rams Youth Centre have been scoring plenty of goals. So this is going to be an absolute humdinger. And I'm going to sit on the fence again on this one. Two out of two. I'm going to go for a draw.
Very democratic of you, Tony. All right, quick look at the combination leagues as it stands, turning first to Canada Life Combination 1, still fiercely contested at the top here. Just 3 points separate the top four of Corinthians, Ramsey, Peel and Rushen United going into this weekend. So, Tony, just quickly take us through the four games in Combination 1 this weekend.
Certainly will. And Onken against Ayr United been struggling at times to get a team out, but I think they're fine tomorrow. But Onken, what a great win last week against Corinthians, beating them 5-0. So I'm going to go with Onken on that. Rushen United against Union Mills, they've started to pick themselves back up again. Rushen, when you look at them, they are 3 points behind Corinthians and played the same games. So I'm going to go for Rushen to win that. Corinthians against Foxdale. Foxdale bottom of the table, Corinthians top. There's your answer there, I think. Corinthians to win. And Laxey against St Mary's. I'm going to go for Laxey just to win this. The reason why I say this is the amount of goals that they've been scoring in the last few games has been unbelievable. So that's why I'm going for them.
Okay, and our Derda Drug Limited combination too. It's also fiercely contested at the top here. Just 3 points separate the top three as it stands. Paul Rose United leading the way on 42 points and followed Ramsey Centre and Old Boys combination side on 40 points and then Douglas Athletic also on 40 points, only behind Ramsey Centre and Old Boys on goal difference. And just look at the goal difference of these top three, Tony. Paul Rose United plus 52. Ramsey Centre and Old Boys plus 72. Douglas Athletic plus 67. Goodness me. Finding the back of the net, no problem at all, these top three at the moment. Anyway, five games in combination two this weekend.
Yeah, Michael against Malou. We'll keep an eye on this one because, you know, whether the pitch is fit or not, there might be a switch, but we'll wait and see. But I'm going to go for Malou to win. Douglas Royal against Moran. Moran have got a reasonable strong combination side, so I think they'll just pip Douglas Royal. Ramsey U Centre against Paul Rose, first against second. Now, if Ramsey U Centre win, they go top of the table. It's going to be a real close game. I'm going to go for Ramsey U Centre to inflict the second defeat on Paul Rose of the season. Colby against Douglas and District. I have to go for Colby. They're climbing up the league now in fifth place. And Jim's against Governors. Jim's in fourth, and Governors Athletic are just a little bit below them in ninth. Jim's to win.
Yeah, and just to add on what you were saying about first v second there, Tony, Paul Rose United just 2 points ahead of Ramsey Centre and Old Boys. Old Boys have a game in hand on them as
exactly.
well, so this could could have implications further forward. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Quick look ahead to Sunday, and the spotlight is on the Canada Life Women's Floodlit Cup, especially because we have the semi-finals taking place at the Bowl in Douglas. The first of those semi-finals is Onchan versus Douglas Royal, 2:10 kickoff at the Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah, it's hard this one to predict because when you look at Douglas Royal on the league table, they've done really well, had a great start, and I think they even missed one of the games, so that makes it even more incredible. So I'm going to go for Onchan to win this, and obviously it is at 2:10, and if it has to go into extra time, it will do.
And the next one is the meeting of two sides. Well, this particular fixture has been the final of this competition for the last at least 4 years off the top of my head there.
Yeah.
Corinthians versus Peel, two titans of women's football at the moment. 3:40 p.m. kickoff at the Bowl straight after.
Yeah, and I don't like using the word, Rob, but Peel absolutely thrashed Corinthians last week 4-1. And, you know, Corinthians will be disappointed because it was a lot closer in the grass game. 2-1 it was, Peel won that one, but whatever happened on Sunday. But Sarah Wignall, great to see her back playing because she's had an illness and she seems to have got over that now, and not a bad golfer neither. Scored a hat-trick, Becky Corkish got one as well. And Corinthians have just got to defensively shore up, and against Peel it's going to be difficult. I think Peel will win it.
And last but certainly not least on Sunday, we've got a doubleheader in the Masters football, Tony.
Yeah, and this is a great competition, this one. And three of the sort of favourites are playing. Colby against Union Mills. I'm going to go for Union Mills to win that. Old Boys against Douglasson District. I think Old Boys are pretty well full strength, so it's a very strong team. I'll go with Old Boys to win.
Tony, thank you very much, as always. And you can find all the details of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures over at manxradio.com. Finally this evening, we're going to be taking a look at rugby and the focus very much on Douglas. Can they finally start to lift themselves out of this slump in form in Regional 2 Northwest when they face their third consecutive away tie in the league this weekend? We'll be finding out with our rugby correspondent Dave Christian in the next few moments. Don't go away.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. The time has just gone 22 minutes past six. Finally this evening, I'm going to be turning our attention to rugby and the focus solely aimed on Phil Kringle's Douglas side, who've, no secret to say, has had their bit of a slump in form in Regional 2 Northwest over this month and the month before that towards the end of 2025. After things were looking so rosy at the top of Regional 2 Northwest at the end of November 2025, it just hasn't quite gone right for them. Five defeats in their last six means that they now sit 18 points adrift of Regional 2 Northwest leaders North Ribblesdale. However, a long way in the season still to go, and much can change for Douglas, and I'm sure they'll be hoping for plenty of better fortunes. Manx Radio rugby correspondent Dave Christian joins us as ever, and Dave, before we take a look at the fixture itself for Douglas, there just doesn't seem to be quite the end in sight to them. I think you've said in your preview this week, it's not quite the wheels coming off. We're not at that point yet, but something surely needs to turn around if they still have aspirations of pushing toward the top.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. There's only, I think, three home fixtures left in the regular season. I understand there might be playoffs in this division, but in the regular season, there's only three home matches left. So they're going to have to start picking up points on the road. And the points at home is not going to be enough, probably. And we do know that the final game of the season is away at North Ribblesdale as well. So things are likely to get a little bit tough for them come the sharp end of the season. So you've got to get your points in the bag. We know at the end of November they were top of the table with a game in hand. That game in hand, if won, they're well clear. Turns out they lost that game in hand. That was last week. And they also lost to the bottom of the table, Altrincham Kersal as well, who hadn't won all season. So, I suspect we don't have a serious crisis of confidence down at Portici. I think what we've had is a couple of injuries have affected the balance of the side. I mean, you can't pin everything on a couple of players. They've got a very capable bench, but when you have the key players, 8, 9, 10, for example, all playing on a regular basis and suddenly one of them's missing, then things start to go a little bit amiss. And we know that Liam Kirkpatrick's had some time off from 8. We know that Nathan Robson's had some time off from 9. And even tomorrow, I see on the team that they've named, Josh Duncan is going to come in at 10. And Matty Wood, who's been so successful in the 10 jersey since the start of the season, he's going to be starting in the centre. So I think it's injury disruption rather than anything else. And not because the quality of the backup is poor. The quality of the backup is very, very good. But it's just upsetting the balance and rhythm.
Okay, looking at the game itself, they are due to be on the road at Northwich, 8th in the table. So how do you see this one working out?
That's a tricky one. You know, the Burnage game last week, the game in hand that they lost, if you put those two Burnage games together, the win at Portici and the defeat at Burnage, Douglas win on aggregate score by a point. So it's that close between some of the teams at the top edge of this table. And I don't think Northwich are too much different. They've had a couple of defeats at home, which means they're not invincible by any stretch, but they've also beaten Sandbach at home, and that's probably a local derby effect because Sandbach's just down the road from Northwich. I suspect it's the local derby effect, but you never know. And a win against Sandbach, either home or away, has got to be worthwhile. They're second place and looking good as well. So it's going to be tough for Douglas, but the team sheet's out. They've got some players back. Nathan Robson starts on the bench, so he's not quite got himself back after his Christmas injury just yet. Owen Carvin's back. He's been out for a couple of weeks now with a knock he picked up, so that's good news for them. The team's looking quite strong, but they have had that shuffle there, that 8-9-10 balance disrupted with Josh Duncan coming in at 10 and Matty Wood moving to the centre. So I don't know what exactly the reason behind the changes. Might be specifically aimed at the opposition. Might be because Phil was struggling in terms of who to use in which position.
Okay, so the Douglas starting 15 to face Northwich tomorrow is as follows. Numbers 1 to 15 in order. Captain Simon Hodnott, and then it's Josh Campbell, Owen Carvin, Connor Garland, Percy Hampton, John Dutnell, Blake Everson, Harry Cartwright, Harry Wallace, Josh Duncan, Kyle Martin, Matty Wood, Harry Hewson, Ollie Corkish and Sheldon Higgins. And the substitutes for Phil Kringle's side are Mark Oldfield, Nathan Robson and Craig Martin. Dave, got around a minute and a half here, but very quickly, the Douglas Celts side, they'll be away at Northwich as well. They're going to be facing Northwich's third team in a friendly. And Douglas Celts, of course, top of the Manx Shield by quite a distance at the moment, but a decent different test for them.
Indeed there is, and I suspect they're going to win handsomely. I've seen that squad announcement too. That is a strong team that the Celts are taking away. Ralph Clark and Brandon Haas in the front row. That's a first team front row, essentially. And there's plenty of experience in and around there. Mark McGee at 8, Bryn Snellgrove, the little magician at 10. And Wilfie Kermode on the wing, in the centre, Charlie Henthorn on the wing. It's a very, very powerful team. Northwich third team. I suspect this team's good enough to play Northwich seconds, but I know they have a league game tomorrow, so it has to be the thirds.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you very much. So just a quick reminder, Douglas against Burnage, the Regional 2 Northwest game, Douglas versus Northwich, I should say, getting underway in Northwich at 2 p.m. And then slightly earlier, also in Northwich, Douglas Celts facing Northwich, 3rd 15. That'll be at 12:45 p.m. Quickly taking a look then through that Douglas Celts squad that will be making the journey, led by coach Niall Killier. So numbers 1 to 15, the starting 15 in order of numbers 1 to 15 is as follows. It is Ralph Clark, Aaron Mason, Brandon Haas, Connor McCowan, Pete Bradley, Matty Clegg, Captain Callum Dentith, Mark McGee, Jonty Shimmin, Bryn Snellgrove, Joey Dale, Jack Wallace, Wolf Kermode, Charlie Henthorne and George Evans. And the substitutes available for Douglas Celts, they've got quite a hefty bench there of players they can call upon, six on their bench, and they are Jack Rowlands, Liam Wood, Carl Conroy, Lewin Scarf, Conor O'Kelly de Conjurer, and also Adam Kinvig as well. So that doubleheader taking place over at Northwich tomorrow when it comes to Douglas Rugby Club, the first team, and the Celts as well. Douglas looking to try and revive their form in Regional 2 Northwest. Well, that's just about all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this evening. Many thanks to our team of correspondents, as always, Tony Meppham, Dave Christian and Ben Cunningham. Also thanks to Martin Dunn, the Alavan men's basketball coach. And don't forget as well, if you want to listen back to anything that's taken place on Friday Sport Preview that you may have missed or want to reflect on, it will be available as a podcast later this evening. Don't forget to follow all the live sporting action on Saturday Live tomorrow with Jason Moore, and also on Full Time and Saturday Sport Classified on Manx Radio AM 1368 with Simon Quine and the team. In the meantime, from us, have a wonderful Friday and have yourself a wonderful weekend as well. But from us, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.